Daily Drive is brought to you by Outsell, your brand on AI. Supercharge your database. Bring more value and grow a loyal customer base through predictive marketing. Learn more at outsell.com.
Welcome to Daily Drive. I'm Steve Smith with Automotive News. It's Friday, January 15th. Our team at Automotive News, like a lot of people in this industry, has spent the week covering CES 2021 and hearing about wonderful and exciting innovations on the horizon. We heard about autonomous and electric vehicles, some that fly rather than drive. We heard about new business models. We heard about the future movement of things. And we heard about new pathways some suppliers are taking to remain at the forefront of innovation in the automotive industry. All very cool and all very exciting. Here's the question, though. Will these innovations ever become reality? And maybe more importantly than the question of if, is the question of how. And that's where companies like Cavenue come in. According to Dino Nardicchio, head of automotive and AV tech partnerships at the company, it's efforts like those that the company announced in August of last year that are going to be critical to bringing real-life use cases and real-life experiences to how people and things move in the future. Beyond testing and proving the technology, what also makes what Cavenue is leading unique is the large portfolio of public and private organizations and the diverse perspectives the company is bringing to the table to share ideas and collectively solve for challenges. Nardicchio says it all takes an open mind and a willingness to work together. What else is new since the company's August 2020 announcement? How goes the 24-month planning phase? What milestones are on the horizon? We've reached Dino Nardicchio, head of automotive and AV tech partnerships at Cavenue, at his home office outside of Detroit. Dino, thanks so much for joining me on Daily Drive today. How are you?
Steve, couldn't be better. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. Certainly an exciting week this week for our industry with CES, but also, you know, way back in August, Cavenue made some exciting news. Can you tell us what's the latest on the what's going on at Cavenue since the announcement the company made back in mid-August?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. Well, I will say a lot. There has definitely been a lot happening. You know, during the first few months, we were essentially building the plane while we were flying it. And this has subsided a bit as we've seen. We've been able to staff up, but we are moving at a really fast pace. Our first employee, who's our CEO, Tyler Duvall, he started the first week of September. And right now we've got about 13 employees, and you know that should double by, I'd say, late spring, early summer. And the company is, you know, it sits at a unique intersection between auto, tech, and infrastructure. And our team, you know, represents each of these industries rather well. So, you know, we've got all these smart people coming at the problem from different angles, and we're learning a lot from each other. Since the announcement, we've seen considerable interest, you know, really across the board, from infrastructure owner operators wanting to do something similar on their roads, to companies in the automotive space who want to participate, and, you know, technology and telecommunication companies want to get involved. So, you know, if it's possible, I think we all get more bullish on what we're doing, you know, every day.
It seems a little bit different than other test beds that are out there, right? This convergence of the business of building machines that move people and things, the operators, the infrastructure in which these machines operate. This seems a little different than other test beds and out there. What have you learned through that process, right? Bringing in all these different perspectives from other converging adjacent sectors.
Well, you know, from a testing perspective, you know, the biggest difference is that, you know, the project is for the public to travel on, you know, and we like to say that we're building a road for everybody, not just for companies to test new technology. So, you know, we will obviously use and employ, you know, quote unquote, test tracks and test beds early in the development phase, you know, so that we can validate components and subsystems and eventually, you know, bring a fully functioning integrated system together. But ultimately, we look to bring this infrastructure ecosystem to the actual corridor. You know, and that really allows us to gain real world knowledge and insights, you know, about the actual users and their experience before, during, and after the ride, you know, and really allow us to deploy and debug the technology stack over a longer length of road under real world conditions and multiple edge cases, you know, and that really is going to enable us to ensure safety and reliability. Standards are maintained over a period of weeks, if not months. And you know, that's not something you can easily replicate in a test lab, you know. And we were able to see firsthand the degree of scalability we can achieve and the portability of the technology.
I would imagine some of this also assuages consumers, maybe concerns or consumers' lack of familiarity with these types of technology. Do I trust it? Do I feel safe in it? Do I actually want to spend a premium if I want these types of features in my personal vehicle? Can you talk to me a little bit about what, as part of the planning process and part of this effort to address consumers' concerns with these, with those things, you know, how is this going to help mass adoption?
Yeah, you know, we great question. You know, we're definitely engaging users, and those users, you know, are obviously personal vehicle owners, you know, transit operators, shared mobility, freight. So there's a number of user groups that we are engaging in doing these discovery interviews to make certain that we understand their expectations out of this corridor and to provide education as well. And, you know, that is, in our opinion, a very important part of the process is to make certain that we're engaging all of the key stakeholders so we can get a very clear understanding of what they would consider to be a degree of accomplishment out of the corridor. And, you know, what is it that we're trying to achieve and making sure we can deliver those end goals?
So let's backtrack a little bit. You know, after the announcement in mid-August, part of that announcement that was that Cavenue and the partners that you're working with were embarking on a 24-month planning cycle. How's the planning cycle going? Any aha moments, surprises, things that the team perhaps would not have anticipated when starting the planning?
You know, it's definitely going by quickly. Project deliverables and timing plans are in full swing. You know, the first few months of the project, we're focused on some, you know, tying up some loose ends, you know, and reaching out to the municipalities that are along the corridor to hear their views on the project and the benefits it could provide them. We're also looking at bringing the project to the general public for feedback, you know, in March or April of this year. And you know, we're very eager to be able to share everything that we've been working on and really hear what, you know, what Southeast Michiganders think. And, you know, one of the things I'm most excited about is our advisory committee. You know, we've assembled the automotive industry's leading manufacturers and AV providers to collaborate with us and help define advanced technologies for roadway infrastructure. You know, the advisory committee includes people like companies like Argo AI, Arrival, mm-hmm. BMW, Ford, General Motors, Honda, May Mobility, Motional, Toyota, Too Simple, and Waymo. And we have some additional members announcements that are going to be forthcoming as well. And, you know, this collaboration is helping inform Cavenue about future CAV corridor considerations and use cases, you know, that provides very constructive input on future infrastructure needs. You know, we want to bring in different developments from a technical perspective in order to ensure that we're not excluding any viable technologies and make certain that the infrastructure is future-proof, because that's very important to us. You know, identifying minimum standards that the vehicles would need to enter a Cavenue lane and determining minimum modifications to existing vehicle architectures so those vehicles, you know, can engage the corridor. So collectively, you know, these inputs will assist Cavenue in the development and deployment of infrastructure technology that can really accelerate the introduction of vehicles with high automation. And, you know, I guess when it comes to lessons learned, you know, I think we've learned a number of things so far. You know, the one thing is by far and away that the challenges of communicating a high level technology concept to, you know, to folks that don't spend their every minute thinking about connected automated vehicles. You know, and another lesson is how to best manage such a large group of stakeholders. You know, but I will say that it's exciting to see that we're still getting approached by OEMs and AV providers that really want to be a part of our advisory committee.
We'll be right back with more of my conversation with Dino Nardicchio, head of automotive and AV tech partnerships at Cavenu.
Outsell, your data-fueled, brain-powered brand on AI. Like a moon landing, technology takes us places we couldn't before imagine. And now, mind-reading technology for car dealers. That's Outsell. And it's one giant step into the future. Outsell harnesses the immense power of artificial intelligence, enabling you to have a continuous relationship with thousands of customers throughout the customer journey. In plain speak, Outsell is the first automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI. Outsell automatically builds and maintains a relationship with your customers using the most effective channels. When they need you, you're there, with information and offer the solution. Customers demand value. Outsell creates the kind of value prized by your best customers. A relationship that demonstrates your loyalty to them. Loyalty that creates retention. For hundreds of dealerships across the country, Outsell has replaced antiquated marketing efforts with AI-powered predictive marketing. Dealerships aren't adding another expense, they're eliminating what isn't working and replacing it with a superpower. It's time to talk with Outsell about automated lifecycle marketing platform driven by AI and how it will find, create, and nurture your current and future customers. It's time to outsell everyone. Learn more at outsell.com.
I think you just touched on something there that makes this so interesting to me, and I think interesting to our readers and our listeners, is this notion that you have companies from throughout the business ecosystem, right? You mentioned them, everything from technology companies to public sector companies to traditional manufacturers and suppliers. What is that like, though? I mean, give us a day, give us an example of how, you know, a day when you all are sitting around a table virtually or in person that says managing those different personalities, managing those different perspectives. Give us a glimpse in terms of what those conversations are like with all of these different players, to your point, who might not live the things that we in the traditional automotive industry live every day.
Yeah, it's obviously a challenge, right, to manage so many relationships at once. And as I mentioned previously, you know, we're very fortunate to have some very capable individuals across all of these sectors that are able to speak the speak. And, you know, so it is challenging, but it's also very rewarding and satisfying at the same time. And I have to be honest, Southeast Michigan is the ideal location for us to develop this initial project. You know, we're getting great support from the government side, you know, including Governor Whitmer, the federal representatives, the leaders that are on the corridor itself, obviously the OEMs and mobility companies, and really strong support from academia and various consortiums that are in the industry. You know, I have to be honest, it would be very challenging for us to do this project anywhere else other than Southeast Michigan. You know, it's very amazing to be a part of this pretty complex collaboration, you know, but when it comes to dealing with these types of companies and stakeholders, you know, to be effective, you need expertise in a number of areas, including policy, regulation, government affairs, private enterprise, transportation, obviously, and all the various silos that are within commerce and government. You need to be able to speak the language, you know, communicate with the stakeholders, and ultimately, you have to know how to get things done. I mean, that's the key. Having the right leadership and the culture that understands, you know, how to navigate across these different, distinctly different channels and get things accomplished. And, you know, I think that's a key reason why Cavenu was awarded Master Developer for the Michigan project.
Mike, I think part of that, and that gets to the why Michigan, or more specifically, the why Southeast Michigan. Point that you made, Because you got to have a geographic area where this makes sense as well, right? And what we're talking about here is connecting Ann Arbor with the rest of Southeast Michigan and the wonderful communities. Talk to me about what this means for Michigan, maybe for the people of Michigan, the residents of Michigan, but also of the ongoing mission of a lot of companies and a lot of leadership organizations around Michigan to continue to position the state as the epicenter for the future of mobility.
Well, I mean, to that point, you know, for us, one of the most challenging parts of our mission was to find an initial pilot project, you know, that really could embody what we were trying to seek out and to demonstrate. And so, you know, the founder of Cavenue, SIP, Sidewalk Infrastructure Partners, really was creating a greenfield project pipeline, and you know they evaluated potential locations against a number of key criteria, and when they identified the Michigan corridor between Detroit and Ann Arbor, it seemed to be the best fit for everything that we wanted to accomplish. And having said that, you know, Michigan has, you know, among the most permissive laws for autonomous vehicles in the U.S., which means it allows operations without a human driver, vehicle platooning, and preempting local restrictions. And, you know, we held a couple of co-creation sessions with the governor's team and dozens of stakeholders along the corridor at the state, county, and city levels, and even in the private sector. And the thing that you struck on was the fact that, you know, the public officials in Michigan are highly motivated to continue what we would say that is the state's leadership in the automotive industry, particularly around mobility and innovation. And so when they put an RFP out to seek a master developer, you know, we were very excited to hear that they were able to award Cavenue the master developer contract and award. So, you know, Michigan to us is the quintessential area for all of these stakeholders to come together and to demonstrate what's possible with future infrastructure.
What advice, listeners, you know, you're, again, listeners, readers, there are companies out there that would say, hey, I want in. I want to be part of this, or I would like to be part of some other similar effort. What advice would you give them?
Well, it comes down to, you know, who are the stakeholders that are involved? I mean, ultimately, you have to understand what are the types of stakeholders that you're going to be involved with. You need to have, I think, the resources to be able to understand their perspective, because obviously when you collect and amass a large number of stakeholders, they're all going to have different agendas and objectives. So you got to have people that understand the nuances within each of those different silos, I guess, for lack of a better word. And having the ability to understand the language and understand who are the stakeholders and how do they expect to get things accomplished, I think that is critical in making certain that you're working on the right activities to support the right initiatives. And so you got to speak the language, and you have to understand how to get things done, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And so having that understanding up front, I think will position you for success in getting things accomplished.
I would imagine part of this is also coming to these things with an open mind, right?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, without a doubt. And I think, you know, having an open mind, I think, is very advantageous, because I think if you come into a project with blinders on, I think you're apt to miss perhaps some very key insights from different stakeholders. And I think that's oftentimes what causes things to perhaps go sideways, is when you're not taking in consideration who are your clients and customers, and what are their expectations and what are their needs. Because ultimately you have to ensure that the end product delivers on those.
Absolutely. Let's close with one more. Clearly, it's been a exciting several months. You have made reference to some exciting stuff that might be out, you know, the next 60 days or so, 30, 60 days. What's next? What's exciting you most about upcoming milestones? You know, what are you looking forward to the most over the next, you know, 30, 60, 90 days?
You know, I mentioned this briefly before. For us, it's bringing the project to the public, you know, in the early spring. You know, that's our next key milestone. You know, we plan on sharing a considerable amount of information, including the actual corridor itself. We've been running various models as to the best route from downtown Detroit to Ann Arbor, and they all have pros and cons. And I think the most significant barrier, I think, is ourselves. And by that, I mean, we want to be able to demonstrate all the benefits that the CAV corridor can provide: personal vehicles, public transit, shared mobility, and freight vehicles. But ultimately, we're going to have to decide on a primary path. And that path may not be optimum for all the use cases, but it will definitely showcase CAVANU's holistic system of integrated physical, digital coordination and operational technology and infrastructure, and really be able to demonstrate the future of roads.
You know, exciting story. Congratulations to you, the team, all of your partners. We are looking forward to hearing and seeing more news in the days and weeks ahead. Appreciate you taking some time and joining me today on Daily Drive.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the opportunity.
That's Daily Drive for Friday, January 15th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And to catch up on all of our episodes of Daily Drive, go to autonews.com/Daily Drive. As always, thanks for listening. We're going to take Monday off in honor of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Enjoy the long weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday.